I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Andrew Chang joins me now, the CBC journalist and anchor, has recently joined CBC Vancouver and last week began hosting the 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. newscasts. He was most recently the suppertime anchor at CBC Montreal, where a lot of us who follow politics would have seen him anchoring coverage of their provincial elections. I remember watching Andrew that night just over 2 years ago when Pauline Marois was celebrating the PQ's election victory and mid-speech was dramatically hustled off the stage as a gunman was in the vicinity. You would have seen Andrew Chang, too, hosting from Sochi during the Olympics. We'll talk now about coming to Vancouver, where he wants to take the CBC newscast and what viewers might expect. It's a competitive market here in Vancouver, and it'll be interesting to get Mr. Chang's take on television news in this part of the world. The Twitter handle is at Andrew Chang CBC, and the website for more is at cbc.ca/bc. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Andrew Chang. Mr. Chang, good morning.
Yeah, hey, good to be here. Good morning to you, sir.
Thanks for joining us. So, I was going to tweet about this, but since I have you on the phone, I might as well just bring it up with you. I wasn't around a television set. I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday, and so I decided to go on the website and watch the stream. Yours, by the way, is the only newscast in this town that streams, so that's a good thing if you're on your computer. But the thing that annoyed me was when you click on it, because the stream only starts at 6.
That's right, yeah.
So when you click on the website, it says streaming begins at 9 p.m., And it's just so annoying every time you go to a website and they use Toronto time.
Right.
you learn when you live here long enough, Andrew, that you know these are the things that you hate Central Canada
these
for.
Things
you know?
That matter, right?
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
So it's when you get into work later, you know, you might want to bring this up with the people who run the website.
Yeah, when I'm on the air at 9 p.m., right?
Yeah, because then you're thinking to yourself, well, is it the live stream or is it the tape of the stream that's coming up, and do I have to wait till 9, right?
Yeah, you know what? That's so funny because I've seen I've watched the stream lots of times just from home to be able to watch it afterwards after the fact, or if I haven't been anchoring that particular, and I never actually noticed that. So that's something that maybe I'll have to raise with the web folk.
Yeah. Well, how have you found living in Vancouver thus far?
Oh, gosh, it's been so great. I mean, both on a personal and a professional level, right? I mean, on a personal level, Vancouver almost seems like it's a city that's been tailor-built for me. Because my wife and I, we're both such outdoorsy people. And so, you know, and the funny thing is when we first touched down in Vancouver, it was during the summer, during that really hot, long, dry spell, where we were just getting something like 10, 11 consecutive days of sun without a single drop of rain. And so that was a real treat. And, you know, we both love, you know, hiking, camping, interior camping, canoeing, running, that sort of thing. My wife runs half marathons. I run tough mudder races. So on a personal level, it's a lot of fun being here. And we live so close to the water that that's not something that in Montreal, that wasn't the case where we lived in Montreal. And then on a professional level, you know, this newscast has undergone some pretty incredible changes. I mean, when the folk here at Vancouver, when they first contacted me while I was in Montreal and basically presented this opportunity and this offer to me, they said, look, we're looking to rebuild the newscast from the ground up, and we want you involved right from the ground floor. And so from that moment, we spent a good number of months corresponding back and forth across the country, basically to figure out in what direction we wanted to take this newscast in order to really turn things around in terms of the ratings. And then once I arrived here, I mean, I've been here physically in Vancouver, I guess, you know, it's getting close to 2 months now. And from the get-go, we've just been working in that studio, working in the control room, brainstorming in meetings about how to make the newscast different than everything else in the market. And, we've been on air now. I've been on air here in Vancouver for a week. So we have a week of programming under our belt now. And I'm actually amazed how quickly things have come together and how genuinely and radically different the newscast looks compared to anything else you're going to see in this market at that time slot and anything else across the country, for that matter. It's a very different program, and that's, I got to say, that's pretty exciting.
Now, did the CBC give you goals as to how they want this broadcast to succeed? Your predecessor was on this program 3 months ago, mm-hmm. noting that the broadcast was third in this market. Did the CBC say you have to hit a certain number, say?
No. There are no conditions for me to keep my job. We're all in this for the long haul, right? And we all are working towards the same goal, and that is to be number one. So, but, you know, I'll just sort of mention in terms of the ratings, the notion that CBC is a distant third. In fact, you know, there are a number of nights where we're second, battling for second with CTV. So it really depends on the night. But generally, yeah, you know, we are looking to bring the ratings up. I think it's... and talking to different anchors across the country about ratings and how they look at that, or even whether they look at the ratings, which is kind of an interesting point. And for me, I find it hugely important to constantly watch the ratings. So while, you know, management certainly hasn't outlined to me, hey, you know, if you don't hit this number, then good luck to you. They have not done that. Present that, you know, sort of personal targets and say, look, I want to bring these up, plain and simple. All of it boiled down to.
Your line cut out there for just a sec, but in terms of just how competitive it is in Vancouver, does it compare? I mean, was the marketplace in Montreal the same? Is it the same in Toronto when you have these three channels going up against each other at supper time?
Yeah, I mean, the dynamic between the three main networks is really interesting because in different parts of the country, different networks shine. And if you want me to sort of compare it to Montreal, the thing is that the Montreal market is very different from, well, pretty much any other market in Canada. The English-speaking market in Montreal is so tiny, right, compared to Vancouver, compared to, you know, most other major cities of even remotely comparable size. So it's hard to look at Montreal and say, oh, well, you know, here's how the numbers stack up to Vancouver. But look, you know, out west, Global is one of the huge powerhouses, and, you know, CTV has certainly been making a lot of inroads to try to capitalize on a reputation of being there for breaking news, right? And you know, I think CBC has strengths in other parts of the industry, other parts of journalism, but certainly in other parts of the country, too. And, you know, the challenge for us is to really turn the ship around, so to speak, here in British Columbia. And to really amp things up. And so, you know, when they asked me to come out, it's a pretty exciting opportunity, and yeah, that's the goal we're working towards.
Now, were there any challenges to moving here? I mean, was there a steep learning curve in terms of learning about this place? I mean, you obviously had to know who the education minister is or why Eicher wears his hair the way he does. I was watching you last week, and you were talking about the big street in White Rock, for example. Was there a lot of homework, say?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, all of the big stories that come out of British Columbia, you know, whether we're talking about the teacher strike, whether we're talking about Enbridge and the Northern Gateway, or, you know, any other issue, you know, the SkyTrain failures, mm-hmm. You know, three in the last, you know, recent little while. These are stories that, you know, sure, they originate in British Columbia, but, man, we talk about them, we cover them, and they resonate all across the country. So, you know, in that sense, was there a big learning curve? No, absolutely not, because I was following all those stories all along, and they're just so critically important, generally speaking. You know, if you want to get right down to it and look at, you know, why Jim Eicher wears his hair the way he does, then, yeah. You know, that's a different matter. But... You know, I'm living in a brand new city, and there are things I have to learn. At the same time, you learn it pretty quick. You know, it's kind of like, I remember right out of university was when I moved to Montreal, and I had a good understanding of the French language, but I certainly wouldn't have qualified myself as speaking French fluently. And then I touched down in Montreal, and my gosh, if any of your listeners ever want to learn French, just move to Montreal for a month, and you'll pick it up, you know, in a snap. And it's the same thing when you're doing a job here in Vancouver, especially one that's as high profile and as important as the one that I'm doing. You learn it really quick, and it all comes so easily because, hey, you work in a newsroom, right? You're being bombarded with all this stuff all the time. And, you know, Monday, we hit the ground running. I had Peter Fassbender and Jim Eicher in our studio on my first day, grilling them about the teacher strike and why neither side was able to make really, you know, any meaningful progress in terms of negotiations. And those minutes were, those interviews, rather, were, you know, 7-8 minutes long, which for a supper time TV newscast is an eternity. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, you know, I've had to learn and learn how everything works here. But I think I learned it pretty quick. And that learning progress process is going to, you know, continue over the next several weeks, months, and years. That's just something that I think everybody deals with, not just me, not just because I'm new to Vancouver, but, I mean, gosh, everyone's learning new things about this province every day as all of these stories unfold. So, and, you know, the other thing I'll say is that when it, you know, when it comes to the journalism that's involved on a day-to-day basis, I mean, this is what I've spent the last 10 years of my life doing, right? I've learned in that time to try to figure out what makes people tick. And, you know, when I interview them, I've learned how to talk to them, how to listen to them, how to learn from them. And these are all things, all skill sets that are applicable, you know, in any city, in any country around the world. And so that's the skill set that I bring here. I mean, you mentioned some of the work that I've done, be it in Montreal or be it in Toronto. I mean, I've hosted The National, I've hosted The Current on radio, I've hosted on News Network, I was hosting in Sochi for the Olympic Games. And that covers a huge breadth of material, both at a local level and a national and international level. So, you know, it's that kind of experience that I bring to Vancouver. And as far as learning the details of how the city works, you know, some of them are small details, some of them are big details. But yeah, I'm definitely learning them all.
Yeah, no, I'm someone who's keenly aware with the long-form interview. It's something that I do online. And you mentioned these interviews that you did on Monday with Eicher and Fassbender. I mean, that's, as you said, a long time to spend talking to someone on television. I mean, that's what I would want to see, and I'm assuming because you're doing it, that's what you'd like to see. Did you find that that's sort of that you want to bring greater context in the supper hour newscasts?
Yeah, you know, one of the big criticisms that I've always had, and I'm sure other people share, and, you know, when watching TV news sometimes, it can feel like you're just trying to cram as much as you can into such a limited amount of time. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've watched a newscast and thought to myself, you know, hey, gee, you know, after that two-minute story, I think I have a full comprehensive understanding of how everything works and why things unfolded the way they did. It, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't happen that way as often as we'd like. And so when it came to redesigning the newscast, that was one of our big motivating factors. And what we do now with the newscast, you know, you mentioned the long-form interview. Those are much more an integral part of what we do, because when you're interviewing, you know, anyone, whether it's a politician or a business leader, if you've got a minute 45 to can that interview, you know, they're just going to give you their 2-3 talking points, and then you're done. You're out of time, and you can't do much more beyond that. So for us to be able to explore beyond that was really, really important. And so, you know, in concrete terms, what we do with the newscast is we'll take, you know, 3 or 4 of the really, really big stories of the day and make the conscious decision to drill into those and zero in on those stories as much as possible. So taking it beyond the minute 45 story treatment, well, hey, let's devote 6, 10, 15 minutes. I think, you know, one day we did 20 minutes on the teacher strike right out of the gate because it's such a huge story that affects so many people. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people. And, you know, I think that's something that viewers really want, especially now, right? I mean, you can get your news anywhere you want, you know, be it online, be it radio, be it TV, or social media for that matter. You get it so instantly, and the immediacy is always there. And so, you know, one of the challenges for us when it comes to, okay, do we want to do long-form interviews? Do we want to do this in-depth contextual coverage? You know, one of the big questions to us was, how does that fit in to how people want to get their news? And the answer to that question is, you know, when it comes to social media, for example, we're not competing with Twitter. We're adding to it. I mean, hey, I get a lot of my headlines off Twitter as well. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You get the immediacy. You don't always get the depth. You don't always get the accuracy, certainly, on Twitter. And so what we do at the end of the day is, hey, we spend all day gathering all the material, gathering all of the principals, all of the major players in our studio, and, you know, hashing out the issue so that at the end of the day, when you have that background knowledge of the headlines and what happened, we're going to explain it all to you, explain why it happened a certain way, or why it didn't happen another way, you know, if that's the pressing question. And the goal is to really have you walk away from that newscast thinking, I get it. You know, I really understand what's happened there and why it's happened in such a way.
And the news business has changed a great deal. I mean, 10 years ago when you first started, there wasn't a Twitter, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's been a learning curve for some people. I mean, and others, you know, have just dove right into it right from the get-go. And in some cases, you know, some of the youngest journalists that we're seeing were practically born with the stuff, you know, born with a smartphone in their hand, and they've been tweeting since birth. You know, so that offers, of course, its own challenges. And, you know, I was just talking about accuracy.
Yeah.
Being a big deal on Twitter, and you really have to be careful with that. And that's also something that I think newsrooms have struggled with, learning to incorporate the news and the headlines that we see online in a quick way, but also in a responsible way. And I think, you know, certainly if you had asked me a couple of years ago how that was going, I would have told you that it's been a pretty rocky ride. But now I think, you know, newsrooms are, and not just CBC, I'm talking about all newsrooms, I think they're all starting to get it a little more. And, you know, you still see mistakes being made, and those are really unfortunate. But the rigor and the responsibility behind using that, you know, incredible vast amount of information, using that in a smart way, that's a huge game changer. But the beauty of it is that, you know, it's such a strong positive force, too, just on an interactive level. Because I don't know how many people, I mean, you know, I saw you tweeting about this interview, and other people, you know, retweeting and favoriting and commenting, and that goes not just for that kind of story, but for every story that we ever do. I mean, the other day on the show, you know, we were soliciting different opinions from people on Twitter. I think on one day it was about the latest SkyTrain failure that happened on Friday, and then before we were talking about pet peeves that people had, because there was a study that had come out about rule breaking and the things that annoy us. But the amount of response that we get was staggering. I mean, I remember just getting hundreds of notifications, you know, within the hour from people who were just so eager to weigh in, right, and to participate in the newscast. So that, you know, that's something that's brand new, and you know, relatively speaking, and it's something that we're embracing. And I think everyone is trying and should be trying to do that, because it's hugely important. I mean, people want to be involved, right?
Did you get any feedback Friday because you didn't have a tie on?
You know what? I don't think I did.
Really?
I don't think I got a single comment about that, which maybe is a good thing, right? No news is good news. But I mean, hey, yeah, I just thought to myself, hey, it's casual Friday, right? I mean, that's the way it goes. And, I might change it up every once in a while. I don't think I have to feel bound to the tie.
I wondered that, because I guess, you know, I'm 32, and you know, I understand that the role of the anchor is changing. I understand that journalism is changing, but I guess I always expect my anchor to have a tie.
I'm sure you're not the only one. But I would say that I didn't get a single comment about it.
Really?
So hey, maybe times are changing faster than we think.
Yeah, I mean, some of the comments that one reads about, not specifically about you, but, you know, there's some anchor changes in the United States, for example, recently, in one of the major networks. There are some people that expect, say, Walter Cronkite or Nolte Nash on their news every night. People are still upset that Brian Williams once hosted Saturday Night Live. People are uncomfortable with Mansbridge standing. Do you think that the role of anchor has changed? And I ask this of someone who is an anchor and who seems to have changed the newscast here, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think the role of the anchor has changed, and I think what's changed on a really fundamental level is how people want to relate to that anchor. You know, it used to be, and this kind of ties into technology as well, because it used to be that people had to conform to the newscast in terms of, you know, when it would air and that sort of thing. You know, you always tuned in at 6 o'clock or always tuned in at 9 o'clock. And that was the authoritative way to get your news at the end of the day. And, you know, now it's completely different, of course. It's the news, it's the other way around. The newscasts are trying to conform to people and to their viewing habits. And, you know, I think there was a time when the anchor, you know, being in that position, the anchor, you know, reported the news from behind a desk. And that was always the way it was. And people liked that, and I think that worked. But now things are much different, and certainly what I try to bring in my style is a conversational tone. To me, that's so important. I don't want to, you know, throw all the jargon at you and all these things and ways of explaining things that just quite frankly aren't the way people talk. And that's really important to me, because if you don't understand the message or if you don't really relate to the guy who's telling it to you, then it's meaningless. You know, you can pack the newscast with as much nutritional grain as you want, but if you're boring about it, if you're dry about it, then best of luck to you. So, you know, I think a lot of networks have been trying to push to modernize their newscast. And, I mean, the nice thing with me is that that's just been my style all along. I'm not really super comfortable, you know, telling people how it is from behind a desk, although, ironically, in Montreal, that's exactly where I was, behind the desk, but mostly because the studio was much smaller than what we have here in Vancouver. But, you know, I think it just, you have to be able to relate to people. And if people like you, they'll understand you. And if they understand what you're talking about, then all the work that you've put into the newscast is worthwhile at the end of the day. And then, you know, when it comes to moving around, just because, you know, you mentioned Peter, for example, you know, yeah, standing up, we've got such a beautiful studio space here in Vancouver. And to me, it's about more than just, you know, the flash and the glitz and the technology and the bright lights. We can really use the set in a way to tell the story in a clearer way. You know, we have all those monitors, we have all the different cameras, and I do think we're still in the learning phase of trying to figure out how to use all that space effectively. But I think as people watch the newscast, you know, certainly, you know, they may have noticed a change from Monday to Friday, just as we're sort of getting used to the routine. But over the next couple of weeks and months, I mean, this newscast is just going to continue to evolve. And as I get more feedback from people too, right? I mean, this ties into the whole Twitter thing. I mean, people have already been, you know, giving me feedback about the newscast, about what they like and what they don't like. And it's going to just continue to shape that. So this is very much, you know, a CBC Vancouver initiative. It's a big Andrew Chang initiative, but it's also, you know, for all the people who are watching, a really, really great opportunity. And, you know, mark my words, exciting things to come, for sure.
I'm curious to know, Andrew, who are some of the journalists, the anchors that you admired over the years?
Yeah, you know, and it's embarrassing now because I can answer that question, but these are all people who I know on a personal level. So I'm basically saying, yeah, you know, I idolize you, and meantime, I'm their friend as well. But no, you know what, I'll tell you, Adrian Arsenault. Mm-hmm. my journalistic hero. The way she can pull you into a story in such a compelling, thought-provoking way, and the journalism is just rock solid behind her. To me, that's the whole pitch. She can do everything. And, you know, whenever I see her on TV, I'm just gripped the whole time. And, you know, David Kahneman is my heroes in the field. When he reports, you know, you watch and listen. And, yeah, you know, I could go on and on, but it's embarrassing. But, no, I count all these people, you know, among my good friends. And actually, just David, I was just seeing the other day in our newsroom, but because he was hosting News Now. But, yeah, you know, I've been fortunate in the sense that I've had a lot of people who I can look up to. I mean, my career, you know, it depends how you look at it, is relatively young. I mean, I've been in this business for 10 years. To some people, that may seem like a long time. But comparatively speaking to the giants of the industry, it's not. And so I've had to learn very quickly from a lot of really great journalists, which has been a great opportunity. And, you know, Gloria is also one of the people that I remember watching, you know, when she was hosting Canada Now with uh-huh. Ian Hanna-Mansain. You know, those two, I learned so much from. Just being able to watch them and the confidence and the knowledge that they projected, both at the same time, but also in such a friendly way, right? And I think, you know, that's one of the first things that, you know, when Gloria and I, when I came here to Vancouver, we sat down for coffee, and that was one of the first things I told her, just about how I've watched her over the years and learned from her. And, you know, being in such an organization that's so rich with that kind of talent is a pretty huge honor for me. It's also a pretty big responsibility because I'm at the point now where other people are looking up to me to be able to give them advice and to be able to show them, you know, how to do things, how to handle themselves, not just in the newsroom but also in live settings and when they're reporting. So it's been interesting, but yeah, for sure, I still have a ton of people that I look up to on a daily basis and think, wow, I still have so much farther to go.
So the other thing that you, when you get into the office later today, that you can ask them about is whether they'll stream the 5 to 6 hour, because that's what I'd like to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not the only one. I've been on their case, not just here, but in Montreal as well, because to my knowledge, that's sort of the case across the country, that the 5 to 6 has always been a problematic part of the show. And to be honest with you, I don't fully understand why, but yeah, the 5 to 6 isn't streamed online, and you can't sort of fetch it after the fact there. It's always just the 6 o'clock half hour. But yeah, it's something, that's one of my pet peeves too, don't worry. So yeah. One of those things that I try to get to the bottom of.
I guess you want us to be in front of a television at
Yeah, we can't give you everything online, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Andrew, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I mean, I've been watching you for years now. Thanks for this. Welcome to Vancouver, and all the best with the broadcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
CBC.ca/BC is the website for more of the Twitter handle, at Andrew Chang CBC, the host of CBC News Vancouver's 5 and 6 p.m. broadcasts. Andrew Chang joined me from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plantin.